Where does assurance of eternal salvation come from? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And I keep on hearing from people from surprising places in the world. I love the internet. I love that we're on the internet. We can reach people from all over. And now we're getting emails and questions from people just all over the place in Australia, in the UK. I mean, the English-speaking world.
That's great.
You know, not so much foreign language speakers so
right.
much. We haven't broken into, like, you know, those markets.
Well, did you know that the official language of Belize is English?
Is it? Yeah, is it? Yeah,
I saw English. It on a game show last night.
My father-in-law was thinking of moving down there. It's a big retirement hub. You know, I think a lot of people are, what do you call them, expats? They kind of move down there.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they can go down there and serve the Lord. You're a retired person, but you're also kind of you're a missionary by accident almost. Well, anyways, we have some questions. Are you ready for them?
Let's give it a shot.
So this first question is from Lori. She says she was raised in a Christian home by Christian parents, and she says she was saved, quote-unquote, at the young age of 6, but she began doubting her salvation in her teen years. She says, I don't believe I had a full understanding of the gospel at such a young age. I am now almost 64 years old, and I've been seeking answers for decades. I have trusted in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ many times, but my life habits haven't changed, and I'm beginning to think it's too late for me now. And then she says she had a serious medical condition, and she's in constant pain and in medication that kind of dulls her mind and emotions. But she's basically asking for help.
Well, I would say several things. Notice she mentioned something about, maybe you can read it again, I have trusted in the death of Christ many times.
I have trusted in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ many times.
Now see, first of all, I don't get that, because whatever it takes to be born again, once you do it, you have it forever.
Right.
So you don't need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life many times to be born again.
So she's doubting her salvation.
Well, not only that, the object of her faith is that Christ died and rose again. It's not even the object of her faith. It's the object of her trust.
Right, right.
We've got a lot of articles at our website, faithalone.org, about the difference between trust and faith. And we've even talked about it on this show about how it's confusing to talk about trust. But secondarily, she's not talking about the gift of eternal life, the free gift of eternal life. She's talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. There are millions of people who name the name of Christ who are in Christendom,
right,
who believe in work salvation,
right,
straight up work salvation,
right,
but they're trusting that Jesus died for them and rose again.
Right. They think that Jesus' death and resurrection just kind of gives you an opportunity to do the best that you can to save yourself. Now you have a shot to save yourself,
right,
because of the death and resurrection.
Well, a lot of them believe that his death and resurrection covers your past sins.
Right.
Now, for your ongoing sins, it's a combination of the death of Christ and your works and your obedience,
right,
and your prayers and your confession of sins or whatever. So there's the first problem. But the second problem is, what does she say right after that about her lifestyle?
And she says, I've trusted in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ many times, but my life habits haven't changed.
Okay, now wait a minute now. My life habits haven't changed.
Right.
Okay, I care that a person's life habits are not what they should be, okay? And God would care.
We want people to grow to spiritual maturity.
Exactly. So if she was my sister, and she's about my age, if she was my sister, I'd be praying for her to mature, have her life experiences be glorifying to God. And of course, she may be overly harsh on herself. I don't know. She may be a wonderful, godly person and just thinks she's not doing well enough.
Sure.
But the point is, that has nothing to do with whether she's born again or not. And the very fact that Lori brings that up makes it clear she's not right now focusing on whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life, John 3:16.
All right, so here are the issues. First of all, instead of believing, she's trusting. And that's a problem because you never know if you've trusted enough.
Yeah, you don't even know what that is.
And
really,
you don't even know what it is. So the first thing is, Lori, you need to believe.
Right.
You need to believe. Yeah, trusting is important, but to be born again, You need to believe. Now, what is the object that you're believing?
That's number two.
That's number two.
It's not only do you have to believe, but believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus should lead you to believe what's necessary to be saved.
Yeah, so why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he rise again from the dead? What did that make possible? It made possible that he gives you eternal salvation as a gift.
Right, but it didn't make it to where everybody gets it, because if that was the case, you'd have universalism. There'd
right.
be no need to believe in him. You would simply receive everlasting life.
Sure, so you need to believe in Jesus for this gift that he promises. And where does he promise it? Well, I'm sure Lori knows John 3:16,
right.
among other verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Lori, if you believe in Jesus, and Jesus says whoever believes has everlasting life, then what do you have?
Everlasting life.
And how long does that last?
That's everlasting.
Right? You can't lose it. So it does. You don't have to believe in Jesus over and over and over again for that gift. It's one and done. Although, for myself, I remind myself of that gift all the time. You know?
Well, it is necessary that we hold fast to our belief in Christ in order to be sanctified. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says that, by which you are being saved, which I would understand to mean you are being spiritually healthy, you are being sanctified, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless
right.
you believed in vain, which would have been if Christ didn't rise from the dead, which is the whole point of 1 Corinthians 15.
Right.
And all through Scripture, Colossians 1:21 to 23, if we hold on, well, then we're going to be presented at the judgment seat of Christ
right.
in a glorious way.
Because there's, broadly speaking, there's two different ways of approaching the Christian life. There is a legalistic way, and you can read about what happens when you try to do a legalistic Christian life in Romans chapter 7. It just
right.
leads to frustration and doing the opposite of what you want to do. And then there is the Christian life that's based out of knowing the assurance that you have it. God just gave you eternal life. If you know that a salvation is a free gift, you're not going to get caught up in all the religious things that a lot of churches promote as quote-unquote spiritual things to do. You're going to major on the majors, just focusing on Christ and his word. And
right.
But here's a question for you, Bob. Let's say, I don't know if this is exactly her situation, but let's say someone is so sick that they're basically stuck on their bed. Right?
Right.
What does spiritual maturity look like for that person? How do they get to serve the Lord? She does say she's bedridden and she's not able to go to church. So what does spiritual maturity look like for that person?
Well, that's a great question. And I think God holds us accountable for what we're able to do, not what we're unable to do.
Mm.
So the person who is unable to go to church is not held accountable to go to church. Instead, they're held accountable to do the best they can with what they have. She also is saying she's got some handicaps due to her medical problems,
right.
the medications she has to take.
Right.
God puts that all into account. Remember the scripture, I guess it's Luke 12, where he says, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, if at some point in your life, some of what you've been given is taken away, and as we get older, this happens to all of us,
yeah.
we begin to have some diminishing of our skills, well, then we're just to do the best we can at each stage. For a person like Lori, it would seem to me, number one, that she would be a prayer warrior, praying for others. But another thing that's vitally important is she continues to believe in Christ for everlasting life. So,
mm-hmm.
since she's not there right now, what she needs to do is get that. And I would suggest praying to God to give her assurance
right.
every day, reading the Gospel of John, a chapter a day until she has assurance. And also, she can reach out to people like us, which is a good thing. She can listen to our podcast. She can read some of our articles. I received this email you're talking about, and I emailed her back, and I even made contact with a pastor in her church, and I haven't heard back from her on whether she wants to meet with a pastor, but if she does, I'm going to see if the pastor can go visit her.
Sure.
And by the way, please don't everybody write us about that, because it's very rare that there's actually a pastor that's close enough that they could actually visit you, but because we're not a reference service for everybody to find.
A pastor is close enough that you know. Personally,
right.
it's not like you know everybody.
Right. I know.
You know a few guys.
I know about eight people.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that this is one of the eight I know.
I was reading in Reader's Digest, and in this past issue, there's a story about a young girl. I think she's like 13 or something. And she wrote a letter to her mail carrier. And he was just over the moon that this little girl wrote him a letter, a handwritten letter, and he posted it on some post office web mail sharing thing. And all the postal workers apparently were just so encouraged. And they started writing her, asking her to write to them because it was such an encouragement to them. And so this story is about how she's writing to all these letter carriers. And that kind of brings her into contact with Taylor Swift, who she really admires as a singer and stuff like that. And it just kind of reminded me that a lot of people can have just a writing ministry, just a letter writing ministry.
See,
and that's something Lori could do.
She could do that.
Write letters to your cousins, write letters to your nephews, your nieces, to your friends, just little encouraging letters. And that can be a ministry that you can do from your bed,
right,
to people. That really makes a difference to them.
Well, and of course, in our day and age too, people can do what we're doing. I mean, there are people who are just regular lay people. They're not professional clergy or anything else, and they have their own little podcast or, you know, video that they're doing, and they send it out, and that's another possibility. It depends on giftedness. And in the case of the 13-year-old, evidently, she's good at writing.
Yeah.
And she connected with people.
Right.
And so whatever your giftedness is, make the most of it as you have opportunity. I would say for Lori, you know, that we are concerned about you. I've also had another friend connect with her via email. And so, you know, our hope with someone like Lori in our prayer is that God will give her that assurance. And then once she has that, now she's able to start ministering. But prior to that, it's awful hard to minister if you don't know where you're going. I've often joked, if you're unsure of your salvation, you kind of evangelize like this. I don't know where I'm going when I die, and if you have 10 minutes, I can help you not know where you're going when you die, right?
Right.
And so, to me, that kind of evangelism is not real encouraging, and it's also very hard to help people grow in the Christian faith if you don't have the very basics, which is assurance of eternal life.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you, Lori, for your letter. Keep on sending them to us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about biblical authorship, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.